King Jesus, we acknowledge you as our Lord and Savior, and we thank you for that. Holy Spirit, come and renew our hearts. Fill us with the fire of your love. Cause us to desire to be a part of the kingdom growth of God. Open our hearts and minds to your leadership and prompt us to a new work, a work of bearing fruit for your kingdom. We ask in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now hiring, help wanted, apply today, start today. The kingdom of God is looking for workers. Now, you might want to tighten your seat belts. It might get a little bumpy down the road here. But let me make it clear from the start. You are called to be a kingdom worker. Today, I ask you to dispel any notion that you are not capable of being a kingdom worker. Hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you today. Now, Father Shane said last Sunday that this relationship with God is a personal one, and that being personal, having a personal relationship with God, it is all about you and that relationship with Him. This is about you, not the person beside you, or someone you know, or someone whom you perceive could be a good kingdom worker. You are called and are expected to give a positive response. Well, now I've possibly stirred up some uncomfortable feelings in you. Let's talk about that kingdom a little bit. Now, the scope of the operations of that kingdom includes all creation and all peoples. The leadership of the kingdom is a shared leadership, but it is equal. The executive team is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The mission of this entity is to send all employees into the entire world. Jesus, the Son, said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." And he went on to say, by the way, that he would always be with those who chose to do the work. All persons who apply and agree to the training today will be hired and given a position. There are no exclusive occupations, work history, place in life cycle, or specialized experiences required. Eligible persons include, but are not limited to, female or male, young, old, highly educated or elementary learners, doctor, attorney, teacher, factory worker, office assistant, nurse, homemaker, retired persons, or any others you might think of. Ethnicity, race, or origin of country are not determining factors. Now, you will receive training in this job. And training is under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And training materials will include a basic universal employee manual, also known as the Bible. And various catechetical instructional materials will be provided. And on-the-job training, as well as one-on-one, there will be small group interaction. And we have another policy manual that we follow. It's called the Book of Common Prayer. So these training materials are available to you, and you are expected to use them. Yes, there are some qualifications necessary. First of all, repentance. turn away from sin and acknowledge Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. In John 3, it says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And next, you must confess. Confess in your heart and with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Romans 10, verses 8, 9, and 10 say, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Another qualification is that you be baptized in the name of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Or if you're not yet baptized, you must be on record of having repented of your sins and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and preparing for baptism. We kingdom workers also are expected to follow Jesus' command as put forth in Matthew. And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And as we go forward in this occupation and in this new kingdom, we are to renew our minds. And we are to renew them frequently. In Romans 12, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Now, the kingdom worker is a new creature in Christ, a minister of reconciliation, and an ambassador for Christ. As we heard read earlier in 2 Corinthians, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. Kingdom workers are required to make a commitment to prayer, Bible reading, worship, and giving of one's resources, talent, time, and treasure. All these for the work of the kingdom. Kingdom workers will demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit as recorded in Galatians, the 5th chapter. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Okay, now I know you're asking, oh, what's the salary? Well, the kingdom of God offers no monetary reward or a salary. But let me reassure you that the benefits are immediate and out of this world. We as kingdom workers are ministers, ministers of the church. In the 1979 Book of Common Prayer, in a section called Outline of the Faith, there are several questions asked. Question, who are the ministers of the church? Answer, the ministers of the church are laypersons, bishops, priests, and deacons. Now, there are a variety and several open positions for ministers in the church. Today, we'll just focus on two, deacon and lay minister. And first, we'll talk about the laity. Again, I turn to the 1979 Book of Common Prayer. What is the ministry of the laity? The ministry of laypersons is to represent Christ and his church, to bear witness to him wherever they may be, and according to the gifts given them, to carry on Christ's work of reconciliation in the world, and to take their place in the life, worship, and governance of the church. Well, what is the duty of all Christians? I say kingdom workers. The duty of all Christians, kingdom workers, is to follow Christ, is to come together week by week for corporate worship, and to work, pray, and give for the spread of the kingdom of God. As kingdom workers, you must know that we are representing Christ. And there are several ways in which we can represent and bear witness to Him. First, we must be grounded in Scripture and prayer, seeking always and everywhere to respond to the leadership of the Holy Spirit's prompting and insights into sowing the seed of the gospel. We also must demonstrate love towards all people and seek to serve their needs as Christ would do. Kingdom workers will always be prepared to stand for and speak the truth in love and not to bow to the pressures of culture. Remember, as Father Benji says, we must be for the culture, but against the culture. Kingdom workers will display at all times and in all dealings integrity, honesty, and openness, and be prepared at all times to give witness to God and acknowledge Him as the source of life and success. Carrying out Christ's work of reconciliation in the world is a call for you, for every kingdom worker. To see how this might be accomplished, let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, beginning with verse 4. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, if you choose to follow along. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by the one and same Spirit who apportions each one individually as He wills. That's our job description. I would add to the above list a variety of service opportunities such as prayer ministry, home visitation, hospital visitation, delivering food to the hungry, befriending unwed mothers, be a pro-life volunteer, a phone ministry to those who are alone or isolated or homebound, make friends and develop relationships within your neighborhood, and caring for and assisting widows and widowers. That list goes on and can go on. The idea is that you have a ministry opportunity wherever you are. Wherever you are to be a kingdom worker, whether it be at home, at work, at school, or in your neighborhood. I ask you, reimagine yourself, not just as a doer of activities, but as a reconciling factor for Christ. Reimagine yourself not as just going about this in a rote manner, but doing a reconciling work for Christ. Wherever you are, wherever you go, you pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you as you go. Remember, you are a kingdom worker, and as such, you participate with all other kingdom workers as they carry out their ministry of reconciliation. Now, Father Shane said it so perfectly last Sunday when he said that we're like a bowl of grits. Each of us is one grit, but we are members as members of many, we form into one body, one whole bowl of grits. And let's continue to pick up, read in 1 Corinthians 12, picking up at verse 12. It says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. And if one member suffers, all suffer together. All, if one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. So as a kingdom worker, you are participating with the rest of the body." And for additional understanding of that concept, let us read Ephesians 4:4 through 7. Paul said, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which to you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts." All of these gifts that we've talked about in Ephesians and in Corinthians can be included wherever you might be. Your family, Christ Church in Winston-Salem, your life group, your job, your gym, your neighborhood, or wherever. Okay, now let's talk about the ministry of a deacon. Again, in the first deacons, as you remember from the reading, were set aside, as was mentioned earlier. You will recall that the apostles needed helpers who would serve the widows. They were very careful of their selection of individuals. Let's look at the scripture which documents some of those requirements of a deacon. As read, Acts 6, it says, "Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty." And in 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, it says, "Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them also be tested first. Then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves. For those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus." Again, in the Book of Common Prayer of 1979, what is the ministry of a deacon? The ministry of a deacon is to represent Christ and his church, particularly as a servant of those in need, and to assist bishops and priests in the proclamation of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments. The ministry of a deacon is much like the ministry of other kingdom workers. Each of the traits, characteristics, and qualifications and ministries, expectations that were mentioned earlier as belonging to lay ministers, apply to deacons as well. The deacon takes on additional responsibilities, however, in that she or he leads the laity in its ministry to the world. The deacon is a bridge between the church and the world, bringing the needs of the world to the attention of the church and taking the reconciling work of the church into the world. First and foremost, the deacon is a servant. In today's reading from Acts, we heard how the first deacons, including Stephen, were set aside to serve the widows. This meant serving the apostles by relieving them to their duties of praying and teaching and preaching. The newly appointed deacons were table servers, most likely meant preparing the food, serving the food, and oh yeah, cleaning up afterwards. A deacon's servanthood is first demonstrated in the home. One must intentionally serve her or his spouse, children, or other family members as a prerequisite for being a deacon. Likewise, a deacon serves the local body of Christ as gathered in worship, life groups, or in any person in any type of need. This action of serving is extended to the neighborhood and then to the general area in which the deacon lives, works, and recreates. The deacon may have a special gifting or calling, but a deacon's attitude is always one of being available to meet the need. Many years ago, more than some of you are old, I went through training to become a deacon in the Episcopal Diocese of Central Florida. And there were several of us in the class, and Bishop Howe, John Howe, came to be with us, to talk with us as potential deacons. And he asked everyone, what is the most important ministry? Well, we all had ideas. Some was ministering to the homeless, some was ministering to the aged, the hospitalized, the ill, prisoners. Bishop Howell let it go on, and at the end he said, I'll tell you what the most important ministry is. It's the ministry of meeting the need. The deacon is a teacher and coordinator of ministries. He or she gives instruction and then says, come with me as we go into the world, into the hospitals, prisons, crisis pregnancy center, homeless shelters, orphanages, nursing homes, and so on. In addition to acts and ministries of service, the deacon will assist bishops and priests in the proclamation of the gospel and administration of the sacraments. He or she is included with the bishops and priests as one who equips kingdom workers for ministry. And this is outlined in Ephesians about how those gifts and those requirements are given to apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers for the equipping of the saints and building them up for the body of Christ. So you can see that, yes, a deacon assists in gathered worship, but the major work of the deacon occurs outside formal worship events. The work of a deacon, the major work of a deacon, occurs outside formal worship events. You may never see or hear of services and ministries that a deacon performs. However, it's a very critical position, ministry in the body of Christ. You may ask, why are we talking about deacons? Why are we talking about lay ministries? You are called to be a kingdom worker. And some of you may be called to be a deacon. Or some of you may know or think of someone as you pray and observe people who you feel should be deacons. You have to know this. You need to know these requirements and these prerequisites. And I encourage you to open your hearts and minds to the Holy Spirit as He guides you, will guide you into your vocation, whether it be that of a lay person or of a deacon. And how is all this accomplished and held together? Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. The Holy Spirit as our Helper binds us together in our work and our fellowship. And we look to Jesus, the perfecter of our faith, who endured so much, and through the opposition of sinful men, he did not grow weary, lose heart. He and the Holy Spirit will guide us and teach us. Now, another cohesive factor for a kingdom worker and a deacon is the communion of saints, those who have died and gone on before and are at rest in heaven. And the communion of saints means that there's a special bond of love and kinship between Christians of various cultures and races. And they are observing us. They're calling out encouragement to us as kingdom workers. They're urging us to keep the faith as once delivered to all the saints. They're exhorting us to remain true to God's call in our lives. And we hear them saying to remain faithful to the truth of God's word. And they are loudly proclaiming that we should never stray from that which we have been taught, even though our culture is falling away from the truth. Encourage. We know that's the theme for Christ Church this year. And Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Kingdom worker, deacon, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now, another factor, in my opinion, is necessary to accomplish this task, and it's called grit. Father Shane, I hesitate to contest your issue with grits, but there is a single grit. There's something called a grit, and a grit is something to be possessed. There's a lady named Angela Duckworth, who's a psychologist and researcher, and she came up with a definition of grit. Grit is passion and perseverance for long-term and meaningful goals. As kingdom workers, we must have grit. We must have a passion for the reconciliation of people to God through Jesus Christ. And though the way may be difficult, we must persevere in our mission. Our goal has great meaning and is of utmost importance and essential to the building up of the kingdom of God. Now, I will offer you my own acronym for GRIT. Get it, get right into it today. Get right into it today. Newsflash, newsbreak. The kingdom of God has a local branch office. Christ Church Anglican, located in Winston-Salem. Yes, you are eligible to join the company there. There are vacancies available, and there is an active hiring process going on. It is critical that all positions be filled. You, Christian, are the perfect candidate. All laypersons are called to be kingdom workers. Do you know of anyone that might be a candidate for the work of a deacon? Maybe you yourself. If you have any questions regarding your role as a kingdom worker or possibly as a deacon, you need to speak with Father Benji and let him know what's stirring in your heart. Whether you're or not you're a layperson or possibly thinking of pursuing the diaconate, there is most likely at least one person here today who has demonstrated in one form or another the gifts that we mentioned earlier as read from Scripture. As a matter of fact, many of you are exercising some of those gifts every day in your life. You may not recognize it, but that's what we're trying to get across. Recognize and reimagine your actions, as Father Benji says. Reimagine your actions and how are they being used to build up the kingdom. If you are not exercising or using your gifts, grit, get right into it today. In the event you're not exercising any of these kingdom building gifts, please get started. How? Bible reading, prayer, Holy Spirit guidance, fellowship within the body, discernment from your fellow saints, attitude, desires, willingness, availability, and vision. Think outside the box. This is not about the person next to you. This is not about someone else. Don't say, I don't have any gifts. Or don't say, I'm too old or I'm too young. There is a job for you. There are no unemployed Christians. Each of us should be growing in an effective ministry. If we are not growing in an effective ministry of reconciling the world to God through Jesus Christ, then we are either dormant or dead. A dormant or dead tree, plant or vine, cannot bear fruit if it's not growing. Jesus wants alive, thriving, and growing kingdom workers who will bear fruit. Are you ready to go to work? Remember, there's no salary, but the rewards and benefits are out of this world. Let's pray. Jesus, please send the Holy Spirit to teach, empower, and guide us into the ministry of reconciliation of all people to God the Father. Help us to see our world differently and to see that the fields of people are ripe for harvest. May we abide in you so that we will bear much fruit and bring glory to the Father. Please, Jesus, petition the Father to order our actions and bring God encounters across our paths. Help us to use our talents for building up of God's kingdom. Please remind us that God's heart is a heart of mercy. Help us not to judge or condemn, but to love people where they are. And may we love them until they ask us, why? Spirit, make us hungry and thirsty for the building up of God's kingdom. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.